Hey, good morning. Happy Sunday before Christmas. We are so glad that you are checking out West Online, whether it's on Sunday morning or in the days to follow. We're just really glad that you are giving your time and your attention to the message that we hope to share. If you are newer to the West community, we invite you to text the number that you see on your screen right now, or 704-343-8955. We'd love to know that you're a part of the worshiping community, and we have a gift that we'd love to send you. So we'd love to know that you are here with us. So we invite you to text the number that you see on our screen. On Thursday night, we're getting ready for our first, and we hope only, drive-in Christmas Eve service. And in the middle of COVID just being absolutely crazy and everywhere, like a friend of mine shared with me yesterday, his entire church staff in the past like 24 hours had been exposed separately to COVID. And so now they're all under quarantine and they have had to cancel all of their worship services. And so whether it was digital or anything. So it's such difficult times for everyone, but we really wanted to celebrate Christmas Eve together. We haven't been together in, 9 months. And so on Thursday night at 5:30, we are going to gather together in the parking lot at Lake Norman High School, or shine. We'll have a tent that the worship production, worship team, and I will be under. You will stay in your cars, and we will be sending the message through your FM radio. And so you'll get more information about that. We have a gift for everyone that attends that evening. We are going to be giving out different kinds and varieties and amounts of gift cards because we believe in extravagant love. That's actually what we're going to talk about today. And we're also giving away some Google Nest, or I don't know, they're called something, Google Echo Dots. I think that's Amazon. But anyway, I'm totally screwing up every kind of like advertisement for these companies, which is probably good. But anyway, and we're giving away a Bose speaker, like one car that comes will get a Bose speaker. And we're just really excited. We'll have communion together in a COVID-safe manner. You'll receive the communion supplies as you arrive. They're pre-packaged, and you're going to get a Christmas bag with that in it. We have Christmas stockings with stuff to do for the kids, because I'm not that entertaining. And then the youth, and everybody gets a snack. I mean, you don't want to miss it. And you'll be there for about an hour, and then you can go and celebrate Christmas in whatever manner that you choose to do so. So we really hope you'll check us out. You don't have to pre-register, but we would love to know if you are coming. And so there is a link to sign up for that if you're willing, but you don't have to. Also, we've talked about, we love Christmas presents. Your staff and I, we love presents. It's one of our love languages, and we want to ask you for a Christmas present today. Whereas I always prefer silver, gold, and diamonds, this one is a little different. We would invite you to go to YouTube. Don's going to put it in the chat room, the link to our YouTube, or you can look on my Facebook page. We would love for you to give us the gift of subscribing to our YouTube channel. Our first goal was 100 people, then 150, and it is driving us like absolutely insane that we're at 196. Like, we really want 4 people to subscribe, preferably 5 in case we get on your nerves, so we can have one extra to play with. But we would love for you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's just a way to stay connected with Amped and the messages and any other things that we might do. It is a privilege to be able to share with you this morning on the Sunday before Christmas. I hope you're ready to celebrate the birth of the extravagant love that comes through the gift of Jesus the Christ. And so thanks for being here this morning. Enjoy this song. It's a fun one from the worship team. So this morning, as we wrap up the four Sundays of Advent, the Sundays of right before Christmas, we are going to talk about the last theme. It's the one that actually holds them all together. We're going to talk about love. We've talked about peace, we've talked about hope, and we've talked about joy. So today, we are going to talk about love. Bob Goff is a famous lawyer, and he calls himself a recovering lawyer. He left law to go into nonprofit work, and he became the consul of Uganda, and he lives in California now and is just an amazing author and speaker. Years ago, I had the opportunity to hear him at the Tap House down in Cornelius, and it was right before he launched his nationwide tour, Love Does. A clergy friend of mine had the opportunity to meet him. She convinced him to come to Cornelius. So he came, and he told this powerful story about love. He and his wife lived on a golf course out in California, and the golf course backed up to a bay of water. And so one evening they were sitting out on their deck out back, and this young man walked up to their deck and said, "I have admired your home for years. It is so beautiful and so majestic. I am getting ready to propose to my girlfriend. Would you mind if I used your backyard?" And Bob, being a very kind and generous heart, he thought it was a little odd that just a stranger would walk up and say, "Can I use your backyard?" But he's like, "Yeah, I love the story. I love your courage. Sure, go ahead, use our backyard." The young man's name was Ryan. And so they talked about that they would talk in the future. And so Ryan went on his way. A few weeks later, Ryan approached the Goffs again, and he said, "You know, I've been thinking, I'm working on the plan for the proposal, and I'm just so excited. Would you mind if instead of just using your yard, would you mind, your patio is just so beautiful. Could I have dinner for her out here on the patio that evening?" And Bob and his wife, they're like, "Sure, no problem." And so he was all excited and he left. Well, then a few weeks later, he asked for another question. He's like, "You know, I've been thinking, I want it to be really special, and I want us to be able to like have some pictures made when I ask her. Would you mind if we invited just a few of our friends? In fact, I'm going to have them like serve us dinner." And Bob, he was like, "Fine, you know, no worries. We'll, you know, just disappear that night, and you can, you know, have the run of our home." Now, keep in mind, he has never met this young man before. And so then later, Ryan called and said, "You know, I just have one more favor to ask you. You live on the bay. It's such a beautiful place, and it's going to be just the most romantic evening. What would you think about, like, do you have a boat?" And Bob's like, "Well, actually, we do have a boat." He's like, "Could I borrow your boat, like, after the dinner? Like, if I took her out on the water and I proposed to her out there after this magical evening?" And Bob's like, "You know what? You have to admire this young man for his courage and his desire to make his proposal the most amazing thing ever." And so Bob said, "Sure, you can have our boat." Well, Bob, being a very important figure in his community and having some pretty high connections within the government, he asked a friend of his who was a captain in the Coast Guard. They had a ship that was located not too far off. And he said, "You know what, would you do me a favor that evening?" And so he told him this whole story about this young man and his courage and audacity and desire to shower his future fiance with love. And he said, "Would you guys mind, like, when they pull out of the dock, would you all mind pulling out behind them? And then when he proposes, shooting off the water cannons?" Now, I don't know how he got that to happen, but he actually did. So the night came, and Ryan is there with his girlfriend, and they have this amazing dinner. Their friends served them, and then they went down on the boat. And Bob and his wife, Lynn, they were watching from their neighbor's house. They pull out from the boat, and then pretty soon thereafter, the Coast Guard boat pulls out behind them. And when Ryan gets down on one knee to propose, then right at that moment, the water cannons went off on the Coast Guard ship. Ryan later said that as they stood there embracing one another, they could feel the mist of the water showering down on them, and it felt like they were being engulfed in drops of love. It's a pretty beautiful story to imagine what it would have felt like to stand there or even just observe this magical moment, and not just of Ryan and his love for his then fiance, but the love that Bob and his wife had for just a complete stranger to let them come and take over their very, very nice home and their boat. Radical and extravagant love. That's what we're going to talk about for just a few minutes this morning on the Sunday before Christmas, because that's what we celebrate. That's what the last several weeks have been leading up to, that this week on Thursday night and Friday morning, we will celebrate an extravagant yet a strategic kind of love. You know, Ryan had some strategy. He had this elaborate plan, and then he executed the plan, and as a result of this strategy, he was able to share this extravagant love. The very same thing happened a couple of thousand years ago, and it had been in the works for thousands of years before that. A strategic plan and an extravagant love. The people of Israel, the Hebrew people, they were waiting on a Messiah, on a Savior. They were waiting on salvation, on transformation. They had been oppressed, and the prophets had told them for years and years and years that your answer is coming. Hope is coming in the darkness. You will find and you will experience joy and peace, but it had not come yet. They were looking for a king. And when we think about kings and queens and kingdoms, we have an expectation. Like for me, it calls up the royal family in England. Years ago, I had the opportunity to go to England, and my aunt lived near Buckingham Palace. In fact, where she and my uncle lived, it bordered the wall. You could see the wall of the palace. It was just the coolest thing ever. And I begged my aunt, I'm like, I am such a royal like wannabe. And so can we please like go take a tour of the palace? She's like, I've been there way too many times. You guys can go, but I am not interested. So we went and we walked through the halls, and it was so magnificent and full of splendor. And then I convinced my aunt for us to go do that little double-decker trolley tour thing. And I mean, I was so smitten with the queen. I just think that has to be pretty cool to be like a queen. And so they were actually having a memorial for 9/11 on the day that we were in downtown London. And so Lane was in kindergarten, Andrew was in second grade, and we were on this double-decker bus in downtown London, and my aunt was there, and all of a sudden they came and they put a stop to traffic. And you could hear the rustle on the bus. They're like, the Queen is coming. And then if you look down the street, you would notice that they had barricades up and leading into the cathedral. They were like lining the way. They were getting ready to have a memorial service for 9/11. And the Queen was going to be in attendance. I got so excited. I perhaps neglected to ask my aunt what she would like to do. I declared, I'm like, we have got to get off the bus because we get to go see the Queen. And I grabbed Lane, I grabbed Andrew, and off the bus we went. My aunt got so addled, she ended up leaving her purse on the bus. And so after this magical moment, we ended up spending hours looking for her purse in downtown London and calling all these places. But I had my kids, and we were going to go see the Queen. And guess what? Like, we made our way up to the front of the area where it was barricaded. And when they drove by, I promise you, we had eye contact. contact. The queen and I know she looked at me and did her little fancy wave. And it was just this magical moment. And there was this energy and this presence that was there in that time and in that space because royalty was going to arrive. Well, that's what the people expected. Because there were kings and queens and systems that existed in their society. So they expected their savior, their Messiah, to be this king that was going to come and pretty much, you know, like take over and give them freedom from oppression and hope in darkness and peace and annihilate all of their enemies. They had these expectations. But what we find is that the love that came through the human form of God in and through Jesus, it was strategic and extravagant. Strategic in that it was not like anything they expected. This story isn't foreign to you. You know that Jesus didn't come as some massive ruler. He came in the most vulnerable way, as a baby, in a place that was not remembered or revered by the masses. The people that got the message first, they certainly weren't the royal court. The whole story is strategic in that it shows us that love, the radical and extravagant love of God, it turns everything upside down. And if you and I, if we want to experience the joy and the hope and the peace that comes at Christmas, it's up to us to accept that this kind of love, it's different than what we might expect. It's also different than what we might want. We fall in love with the idea of love. Think about when you fell in love with someone in your life, a partner of some type, and when you first, you know, when you're first together, you have these warm and fuzzy and gushy feelings, and then, you know, time goes by and the courtship time, or you've heard it referred to as the honeymoon period after you get married, that period ends, and then you find out what the real love is all about. But we fall in love with this ideal of love and that it's warm and fuzzy and easy, and love is anything but. And we see that in this gift of the Christ child that does, in its strategic way, turn everything upside down. There's nothing easy and there's nothing warm and fuzzy about the birth of Jesus in that place and to those people and revealed to those people in Bethlehem a couple of thousand years ago. But the amazing part of the message is that even in this new strategy to turn it all upside down and show that the kingdom and the royalty is not like anything they expected, that actually through Jesus, it is not about starting at the bottom and going to the top. It is about starting at the top and going to the bottom. That's the whole strategy, to turn it upside down. That those with all the things and the trappings of this world, that's not where the power is. The power lies within moving past and moving through and letting go of all those things. And recognizing that it is in our most vulnerable state that we are able to see and experience, receive, and give love. The other night, we had a COVID-friendly, small staff Christmas party. We didn't even invite significant others and partners and spouses because we were trying to keep the numbers down. And there was a very small group of us. And I had purchased this game that I thought would be easy for us to learn to play. It was called I Dissent, and it was based on the Supreme Court being able to, like, you know, say, yes, I agree or I disagree. First of all, it took us, I think, 45 minutes to even figure out how to play the game, which is not a positive thing for us. And we finally just made our own rules, which is truly the West way. Like, there was one master card that you would play that said, "I dissent." And because none of us could even understand the rules, and the YouTube video to learn how to play this game was an hour long, and none of us had the patience to watch that, we just threw that card out and played our own way. And so the point of the game is you have this opinion card, and you lay the opinion card down, and then everybody has to decide, I agree or I disagree. And then you have to share your opinion, and the majority wins, and then you can try to convince the other people that disagree with you. This is why I like the game. You try to convince the people that disagree with you that you're right. And so you have 1 minute, and everybody gets to talk at once. So it's a little chaotic, but one of the cards was that money can buy happiness. And you can, based on, you know, like what we preach and what we say, assume that, you know, all the staff would be in agreement, right? Because that's what we talk about, that, you know, it's not about money, it's not about stuff, it's not about being powerful and royalty, that it's about being the least and the last, and recognizing that in being the least and the last, that we are called to go and share all that we are and all that we have with those who may be looking for something. So we get this card, money can buy happiness. We turn over our opinions, and everybody agreed but myself and one other staff person. And we were in the minority. And, you know, it was funny. I'm like, you have to have money to have a certain level of happiness, because, like, I value, you know, having a home or having food. And so then the other staff, and I'm not going to, you know, name names, you know, because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But, I mean, they got really passionate about their stuff. And so one staff's like, well, what about the people in Uganda? You know, every time a team comes back from Uganda, all I hear is how happy the people are there and happy in their own surroundings. And they don't have all the trappings and the stuff that we have, and they have happiness and they have peace. And then my partner and I at the game, we were like, no, but you have to have a certain level of money to be happy. And this went on for a minute. And finally, after the minute, you have to vote again to see if you were swayed in your opinion. Now, Brad raised his hand just now, so I think he's giving me permission to tell you that he was my partner in this game, and we both were pretty adamant that you need a certain level of money to have some happiness. But I defected, and I went over to the other side because I knew that they were right. I mean, truthfully, it isn't about money, it isn't about power, it isn't about prestige. That was the strategy that came in the Christmas message. Everything turned upside down. And the message of love that came through Jesus, it changed everything. We don't get to keep just this little innocent, innocuous vision of a cute little baby with rosy cheeks cooing in a manger. That certainly is not how Jesus lived his life. He did turn everything upside down, and he showed them and he shows us what it means to really love. That's the extravagant part. Love, as embodied to us and as given to us through Jesus, is the kind of love that you give away. It is not the love that we just try to get more and more and more. In order to be loved and feel that love, it requires us accepting that love and then knowing that in order to be of that love, we have to give it away. I wanted to share with you some verses from 1 John this morning. Dear friends, let's love each other because love is from God. And everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love does not know God, because God, the definition of God, is love. That's who God is. This is how the love of God is revealed to us. God has sent his only Son into the world that we can live through him. This is love. It's not that we loved God, but that he loved us. God loved us. And God sent God's Son as the sacrifice that deals with our stuff and our sins. Casting Crowns wrote a beautiful song called Love Moves First. That's the strategy and that's the extravagance that we see in the Christmas story. Love moves first. And in order to be loved and to know that love, it requires effort and action on our part. Love isn't easy. It isn't all neat and tidy. But when we do it, when we give it, it really does change everything. I invite you to, over the next several days, think about that. Think about how amazing it feels to be in love. And then to recognize that in order to feel and embrace that love, it means that we move and we give ourselves away. It's why the one time a year we ask, boldly in the middle of a worship service, we ask for your money. We ask for your tithes, your generosity to the mission of the church. At West, back in the dark ages when we used to gather together in person, and I was much younger back then, and we'd sit in these chairs, and on Sunday morning we never did what a traditional church would do. We never passed like the big bronze altar or offering plates. We decided from the beginning that we wanted to be non-threatening, and that as you fell in love with the mission and the vision of the church, as you fell in love with God in and through what West offers, we knew that you would share your generosity and share your resources, and that we didn't want to be beating you over the head with a bunch of offering baskets. So from the beginning, we decided not to pass the offering basket or plate, but one time a year. And on Christmas Eve every year, and this Thursday won't be any different, we will boldly ask for you to give of the resources that you've been given, because we give it away. We don't keep it for ourselves. We don't keep it to pay salaries. We don't keep it to pay for the rent of this lovely facility. We don't keep it for any of those things. We give it to other people. Well, one of the beautiful things that has happened for us as a church community throughout COVID is that we have had the opportunity and the time to reevaluate all of our missions. And some of our missional partners, like, they don't need us as much anymore, and that is a very good thing. Like, we want them to become more independent and self-reliant. And so we have also discovered that there are new partners in our community, both globally and here locally, that are in need. We have amazing leaders, 4 different leaders of our missions team, and they are diligent about vetting organizations and people. And it has come to our attention that not Third Creek Elementary, because that's one of the schools that we've partnered with from the very beginning, they now have lots of partners and people surrounding them, but there are some other schools that especially right now are in need of community and church support. So on Christmas Eve, Third Creek Middle will be one of our missional offerings. The other, a fourth of all the monies that are received, we will take in June when we go meet our new partners in Evangel in Kagumba, Uganda, Evangel Church, as we are beginning partnerships with them and hoping to connect them with Pastor Jeffrey and Acres of Hope, the Ugandan partner that we've had for 10 years. So a fourth will go with us to help them use, we're not just going to give them money, but help them use it in their community. community. And the other three-fourths we are going to give to Third Creek Middle. So I'm telling you that now. So hopefully as you worship online on Thursday night at 5 o'clock, or worship with us in the parking lot at 5:30, that you will consider sharing your resources with these people. The love of Jesus and the love of God as revealed to us and is given to us through Jesus, it's strategic. It's extravagant. Jesus shows us that to be a people of love, we have to give ourselves away. It's the ultimate gift that we know comes within the rest of the story. It's why you can't have Christmas without the cross. And without the resurrection, it all wraps up in one great package. It's strategic and extravagant, and it changes everything. Ryan, that young man who loved his girlfriend / fiance so boldly and so courageously, describes that moment when the mist of the water cannons washes down on him, on them. And he said he felt like he was engulfed in drops of love. That is my hope for you this week as you finish preparing for and walk into and through Christmas. That the drops of a love that knows no end, and a love that carries us in and through everything, that those drops engulf you, sustain you, and bring you hope, joy, and peace. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, thank you for your gift of strategic and extravagant love. It is our hope that we can feel that love, that we can accept that love, and then recognize that we are called to go and be love, not just to those that we're comfortable with, but to and with all people. God, show us that love and then provide for us the pathways that we need to go and share it. We give you thanks for that gift that continues to make a difference in our worlds and continues to turn everything upside down. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I invite you to stay tuned for Amped. It's our new version of Amped. We have like 54 kids now that subscribe to this, and it will mean something to you. It's a powerful message, and we really want you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please give us a Christmas present, and I feel like I'm begging, but I am. And so we invite you to do that so Dawn, if we can get over the 200 mark, it will make her so very, very happy. And we hope to see you in either our online service, which clearly I didn't know what time that was going to be on Thursday. It is at the same time that the in-person service is going to be. I can always see, like, when I make a mistake, because I see all the staff start turning and talking and whispering to each other, like, what's she talking about? The online service is at the same time as the Christmas Eve parking lot service, because we recognize that many of you cannot be here. You live out of state, and so we want us to be together in community on Christmas Eve. So we invite you to either be in person or online at 5:30 on Thursday night. Until then, we wish you a very merry almost Christmas, and we will see you soon. Go in peace.